The final leader I met with was Dr. Eric Weiner from the CALGB. Our conversation began when current directions in adjuvant therapy research of patients with HER2-positive disease.
HER2-positive disease is clearly separate from everything else at this point. And I think that's even more true in 2008 than it was in 2004 or 2002. So with the recognition that Herceptin works in the adjuvant setting from the large randomized trials, and with the development of therapies post-Herceptin, I think that, you know, what we have is a situation where both in the adjuvant setting and in the metastatic setting, there will be HER2-positive trials and HER2-negative trials. And with the exception of some phase 1 trials or perhaps some limited other examples, we're not going to see a great deal of mixing. I think in breast cancer, doing nothing other than having subtyped breast cancer into at least the few clinically relevant subtypes we have, so HER2-positive disease, triple-negative disease, probably in the end will be a couple of different types of ER-positive and HER2-negative disease, call it high-grade and low-grade, call it luminal A and B, you know, but basically a couple of different types. I think that's going to allow us, and already has allowed us, to design trials that will lead to far more tangible benefits than in the past. And I think we're just beginning to see the results of that with the trials in the adjuvant setting with trastuzumab. I think that's going to be taken several steps further. We need an awful lot of work done for patients who have triple negative disease, where at the moment we have chemotherapy and we have the added benefits of bevacizumab in the metastatic setting, but we don't have much else. And I think that for patients with ER-positive disease that is HER2-negative, really the key is identifying the patients who need chemotherapy and the patients who don't, and figuring out how to do better with hormonal therapy. Because I actually think that the striking result from the ATAC trial, you know, presented at San Antonio this year with 9-year follow-up, is that there wasn't a difference in overall survival. So that, in my mind, we haven't figured out how to improve survival for postmenopausal women with ER-positive breast cancer, and yet I think we have some very, very good clues, and I think those clues largely relate to duration of therapy and potentially picking the right drug for the right patient, rather than necessarily saying the same approach is going to work for everyone.
Do you think that type of approach is going to result in a significant, you know, bump down in the breast cancer mortality in the next 10 or 15 years?
So I actually think so. I think that in the end, that adjuvant HER2-directed therapy, so at the moment treatment with trastuzumab, what may evolve beyond that, will probably result in pretty close to a 50% reduction in the deaths from HER2-positive breast cancer of women who present with early-stage breast cancer. And I'm phrasing it that way very deliberately because there are still a fair number of women with HER2-positive breast cancer who unfortunately present with advanced disease. So I do think that that's going to make a difference, and I think we're just beginning to see those differences emerge. We have a lot of work still, as I mentioned, in patients who have triple-negative breast cancer. And I can't tell you that I think that we've made remarkable strides in terms of reducing mortality in women who have ER-positive breast cancer. We had all hoped that substituting an AI for tamoxifen would do that. It doesn't look like that's the answer. But I think that we're pretty, at least partially, down the path in terms of trying to come up with better approaches. I said 2 to 3 years ago, and I still believe this, that in 10 years, actually I said it 10 years from 2 to 3 years ago, so in another 7 or 8 years, I think that we're going to have all, if not almost all, of the tools we need to eliminate death from HER2-positive breast cancer if we can get people coming in for treatment at a reasonable point in time. I think we're going to have many, many drugs for patients with HER2-positive breast cancer, and while that may not cure everyone's breast cancer, I think it's going to keep even those women who can't be cured alive for a very, very long time. So I'm actually more optimistic than you are. I add one other point, which is that one can only begin to imagine how many deaths we would prevent from breast cancer if every woman in the United States had the same health care available to her that an insured woman in a reasonable-sized city has. We know that there are huge disparities that relate to race and education level and economic status and a range of other social factors, and that these disparities not only affect the stage at which a woman is diagnosed, but affect her chance of surviving breast cancer.
So I guess the other thing I was going to ask you, talking about all the advances in HER2-positive disease, any predictions about how the whole issue about HER2-low is going to play out with Soon-Pake and all that?
What troubles all of us about Soon's data, which are, you know, I mean, Soon has done a wonderful job with this. But what troubles us is that everything we know in the metastatic setting says that patients who have disease that is not classified as HER2-positive by our current standards, that is FISH-positive or IHC3+, that those patients do not benefit from trastuzumab. Now, maybe trastuzumab is working in some other very different way in the adjuvant setting, but that to me seems like a stretch. And I'm open to many possibilities, but I think before concluding that trastuzumab or other HER2-directed therapy has a role in patients whose tumors that we believe are HER2-negative, I need a lot more data.
I don't know. I saw that presentation. I was like, you know, where's the hole in it? I know I'm not that smart, but I couldn't see it.
You're smart, but it just doesn't, you know. So lapatinib doesn't work in the metastatic setting in HER2-negative patients.
Right.
Trastuzumab doesn't work, and we've done that. We've done a prospective randomization in
immunologic CLGB. Mechanisms with smaller tumor burden.
Maybe. It's very, very funny. You know, the place where I would start, I think that what needs to be done as the next step, and we should do this and enroll patients in the next year, is we should have a study in those patients whose tumors are considered HER2 intermediate, borderline at the moment. No one knows what to do with those patients. We should enroll them in a study and answer the question.
Defined as what?
Defined as HER2 2 plus FISH 1.8 to 2.2, or for that matter, I'd take HER2 2 plus without anything else.
Yeah. How about HER2 1 plus?
I don't know, because, you know, remember the patients in the NSABP trial all had HER2 that was positive someplace.
Right.
So it would seem to me that it would be easier to justify the small potential risk and the added burden associated with trastuzumab for those 2-plus patients. And if it's negative there, it's not going to be positive. Of course, given the benefits with trastuzumab that have been reported, including the benefits in this small subset, you don't need a huge trial.